7:03 on this Wednesday morning, Coach and Friends on Classic Country 90.9. Coach Chris Herron, the grinder, the voice of our volunteers, Rusty Taylor. And Taylor, have we got a special one with us? Heroes Hotline is fired up early this morning. And we've got on that hotline a gentleman by the name of Mr. Bill Bubba Bussey. Good morning, Bubba.
Good morning, Coach. Rusty, hope you guys are doing well.
We are doing well this morning here in Clay County, and we're sitting at about 32 degrees right there at the freezing mark, but we're getting started into a brand new Wednesday morning. And how's everything in Bubba's world this morning?
Coach, let me just say to begin with, what an honor it is to be on with you and Rusty. You've been a legendary coach, now a legendary broadcaster. And, you know, I haven't got to listen to a lot of morning shows for the past 30 years, so I'm kind of enjoying getting out and listening. And I've been listening to you guys driving into Jacksonville some, and you're doing a great job. I know you have a lot of fun.
Well, we do, Bubba. We have a good time with it. And I guess you were kind of limited there to how many morning shows you were able to listen to the last 30, 31 years or so.
Yeah, and you know, when you had a day off, you really didn't want to be listening to much of anything.
Exactly.
So,
sure.
it's kind of what I call the new world order, you know.
Let me ask you this, Bubba. Are you able to enjoy later television and maybe not getting up quite as early?
Yeah, it's going to take a little time, you know, to break a 30-year habit.
Sure.
It's going to take more than 30 days.
Sure.
But, I've had a few mornings I slept into like 6, 7 o'clock,
yeah.
And man, it was like sleeping to lunch.
You felt like half your day was over. It was gone.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what to do with myself. I wasn't sleepy after lunch. I didn't need to take a nap, you know. I got to lay off the caffeine and sugar a little bit. I mean, it was great.
Right. Well, Bubba, let's ask, in case there may be somebody out there that doesn't know exactly of everything that you've done and maybe wanting to learn a little more, because many of us over the years, I mean, we feel like we know you well from everything that you shared with us over the years in the mornings. But when we are able to talk with somebody for the first time here on our little morning show, we always like to ask a few questions to just let some of our listeners maybe learn a little more about somebody than they feel like they maybe already know. So we've got a couple of questions we'd like to start you with this morning.
Yeah, fire away.
And our first question, and this is always the first question, because it's a big question here in Clay County, and it impresses people. It makes a certain kind of impression here in and around Clay County. Bubba, if you had the choice for the rest of your life to only have biscuits or cornbread, which one of those would you choose and why?
Oh, it would be biscuits all the way.
Okay.
No, I don't even have to think about that one. Look, cornbread is good. I'm not anti-cornbread.
Right.
Man, I'm a biscuit eater. I mean, I love my biscuits. I like them plain. I like them with ketchup in them. I like them with syrup on them. I like them with gravy on them. You know, I like biscuits. Look at me. You can tell I like biscuits.
Well, and I think... That's the answer we get has been the most common answer, and it's more versatile to me. I mean, it can go with any meal of the day. Cornbread, I have eaten cornbread at breakfast, but I have a biscuit just goes with anything, and cornbread is not really seems to go with breakfast and all the meals like a biscuit would just go with anything.
Look, I don't pass on the cornbread. Don't get me wrong, but. Listen, when I've been out doing something and I come and I hit the refrigerator about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I see a biscuit left over from breakfast. Hey, here we go.
Put some syrup in it. That Golden Eagle syrup. You like Golden Eagle syrup?
Yeah, it's good. You know, I'm a little partial probably to the more sugary stuff. You know, I haven't been a real slave to healthy eating over the years.
Oh, no.
So,
no.
You know, Mrs. Butterworth and Log Cabin. Yeah, I like it all. Rusty, I don't turn any of it down.
You know, those are two that kind of you grew up on that I've kind of shadowed. You know, as he mentions those, Log Cabin, no Log Cabin syrup. That is good syrup, but it's been a while since I've had any.
And it's thin now. It's a thin syrup.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, it's not, you don't have to fight like you do with that Golden Eagle and, you know, get it all over the lid and all that stuff like you do. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's the effort.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we were at the bowl game for Jack State down in Orlando, and the hotel we were at there had a breakfast buffet, and they had the syrup in a warming in a thing almost like coffee. You know how you'll go up and you pull the little handle to get the coffee out? They had their syrup coming out in that. And hey, if you don't think I didn't drown some French toast, you are wrong.
And it was so it was warm syrup.
Yes, oh, it was very warm and very workable, and you know it got a little harder as it cooled off. Sure. But you know, I sure liked the way that started.
Yeah. Now, Bubba, you being if I understand correctly, years ago you were went to Jacksonville, an alumni of Jacksonville High School. Also, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Now, I always thought in the coaching world, and you guys have got a head coach there now at Jacksonville High School. That's an old Clay County boy. Coach Clint Smith played for us here years ago. He was an old Clay County Panther and the head coach there at Jacksonville High School. And I've talked with Coach Smith and told him, and I'll ask you about it. I've always felt like, especially now as we've hit this NIL era and all that goes on along around that thing, Jacksonville State is missing a golden opportunity to have some kind of deal with Golden Eagle syrup.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of partnerships out there that if you get to looking at them and kind of drawing some lines, you go, man, that'd be a great hookup. Yeah, Coach has done a great job there. And again, this is one of the things I haven't got to follow that much over the past few decades is high school football, because we'd usually come in and pass out, you know, at 8 o'clock every night. Right. And by the end of the week, you're tired. You don't get to follow that. But yeah, I know he's done a great job. He's had them in the playoffs. I saw him play in the state championship a couple of years ago down at Auburn. Mm-hmm. And he's done a great job. And, you know, Coach, high school is a tough coaching job because you gotta make a team out of what the mamas send you.
That's right.
And you know, if you got an area that you ain't got some big strong women that's used to working in the field, you may not have the linemen you need.
Exactly.
Bubba, I got a big question here. You started Randy, your career.
Rusty, shoot it on.
But you started your career back. Was it 94? Is that when you started your radio career? Or was it a little before?
Well, I started with Rick full time in 94, but I actually I started in radio back in high school back in about 1980, 81, 82.
Oh,
I worked at the college. Yeah, I worked at the college radio station in Jacksonville. My first paying job was at WPID in Piedmont, Alabama. AM 1280, and that's where I learned to beg for food on the air. And because there wasn't anything to eat anywhere close, there was a Dairy Queen down the street, but you had to really time it right to get your order in and put a real long song on and get down there and get back. And, you know, a couple of times I didn't make it, so we had to get creative with that. But, yeah, we've been hanging around radio TV for a long time, and we've done about every job in the business. And, you know, the last one, of course, was Mindless Talent.
Well, one thing that I had to bring up, had the opportunity, is, and I know you're not, well, I'm not even going to say that. I'm not going to say that you're not going to remember this, but I remember it well. And so when you're early in radio, you do different things to try to make ends meet, so to speak. So you're on radio. And then, and I don't even think I've shared this with Coach Herron, but in 1995, there was a couple of guys that DJ'd my prom in Oxford at the Holiday Inn. Do you remember DJing any proms?
Oh, yes. I remember doing several.
Well, you did my senior prom, Lineville High School senior prom at Oxford, at the Holiday Inn in Oxford in 1995. You did that, and I've never forgotten. And I don't really think a lot of our, and I've told some people after, and some remember some, but some just didn't put it together because you guys were early in your career. You know what I'm saying? And we were high school kids. We didn't pay attention to what anybody else was doing. You know what I'm saying?
But I remember it well. We used to do a pep rally tour, and we did a lot of proms and you know, all that kind of stuff. It kind of goes with the business.
Well, I kind of always felt like that night really helped you guys step forward and move up into what you've been able to do. I think without that night doing the Lineville High School prom, you would not be what you are today. I mean, I really feel that way.
Well, Rusty, you know, I am a believer in the butterfly effect. So, you know, you never know when those little moments and those little things you do or you don't do, how they will multiply out years down the line. So I cannot disagree with that.
Well, I feel very comfortable that there were things that maybe some dance moves and some different things that you guys learned that night that you would have never learned had you not have been at that prom. So I just think that had to be huge in your development on the radio.
You know, we saw a lot of things at prom. Some I'm not proud of. I mean, there was quite some dancing going on there in the 90s.
Well, I'll joking aside, going back, we had always had ours in right next to our school in the National Guard Armory. And that was the first time that I remember of, and at least that we kind of broke out. So us Clay County people, we travel all the way to up to Calhoun County, you know, for our prom. So it was a big night. And we, in all honesty, we had a great night. I remember it was very fun. We really enjoyed ourselves that night. But I know you guys done a lot of that. But it is neat to look back and say, well, you know who the DJs to my prom were. So
really. We DJ'd a few parties in Lineville down there. We did one at the at one of the country clubs, and we did one at a house out in the woods out there somewhere. I don't know where we were at way back then. And one of the things too, we got to announce Bob Riley when he was running for governor there at the courthouse. So we've had a lot of fun moments there in Lineville down in your area.
There's a few Bubba stories, Rick and Bubba stories that run around Clay County that people, those of us who are old enough, we still kind of remember some of those things.
Yeah, well, we won't dive into all those today, Coach.
That's all history. You know, in the past.
Anything before 2000, I can't really comment.
Exactly, absolutely. Bubba, tell us this. You say you started back in the radio business, broadcasting back in the early 80s while you were still in high school. What was it about that business that kind of drew you and pulled you into thinking that, hey, this may be a pretty good way to spend an adulthood?
Well, Coach, radio has always just been amazing to me. Some of my fondest memories growing up was me and my dad listening to the radios. We were riding down the road, and there used to be a DJ in Anniston called Marvelous Marvin McCullough. And I remember us listening to him and, you know, Paul Harvey and these other people. And it's always kind of had a magical thing. And I've always thought radio is magical. It has a personal ability to touch people that a lot of the other mediums just don't have. And so, you know, I kind of had that. And then I was a big CB-er back in those days, too.
Oh, absolutely. What was your handle?
And I was the Jacksonville Jaywalker.
Okay.
And, well, I had a walkie-talkie, and there was already a guy called the Jacksonville Streetwalker. So, mm-hmm. You know, I had to kind of fit in there in that mode that we were out walking around. But
sure.
I had a good friend that I talked to on there, and he was already involved at the college radio station. He was a few years older than I was. And he invited me to come up and see it when it was on the air, when they first started.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, when I went up there and saw that, and saw the board and saw the cart machines and all the records and the production room, and I just thought, well, this is just too good. And I was immediately in love at that point. I never had the voice for it. I still don't have the voice for it.
Hey, that's where we are. We, man.
Listen, this is funny. At the college radio station, they at one point told me I couldn't be on the air because I had too much of an accent. Now, this is at the college station, okay?
Right.
And but you know what?
It
was a blessing.
In Jacksonville, Alabama.
Yeah, right,
too much
right.
accent in Jacksonville, Alabama.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of accent, you know? But it really was a blessing in disguise because I wanted to stay around the business. So mm-hmm. I learned the engineering part of it, which I had an interest in electronics and technology anyway, and the programming part of it and the promotions and all of that. So I really got a good, well-rounded course, and that went into sales and, you know, everything else. So I've done about everything at a radio or TV station you can possibly do. And I think that was a big help, like when we were doing the Rick and Bubba show, to, you know, we knew what the salespeople were going through. We knew how hard it was going out there, even if you have a good sellable product, to put those together and get those deals done. And, you know, so we were always very sensitive to the clients, and, you know, some things you couldn't do, but, you know, you tried to work that and help them out. So it's been a long running love affair with radio that I've had for sure since I was a kid.
Bill Bubba Bussey with us this morning here on Coaching Friends. Bubba, we need to step away. You were just talking about it. We need to step away and play a few of those spots and those things. The people that support us here, can you hang on with us through the spot and come back on the other side in just a couple of minutes?
Yes, sir. I'll be here.
All right. We'll step away for a couple of minutes. It's Coaching Friends with Bill Bubba Bussey on this Wednesday morning right here on Classic Country 90.9. 7:21 on this Wednesday morning. Coach Chris Herron, the grinder voice of the Vols, Rusty Taylor, Heroes Hotline, is cooking this morning, Taylor. Bill Bubba Bussey with us this morning here on Coaching Friends on this Wednesday morning. 7:22, 29 degrees, it's telling us on the outside. And Bubba, let's continue our conversation. What about the wife? What adjustments has the lovely Betty Lou had to make as this change has happened in your life?
Well, you know, one of the changes, I told her she can't spend as much money. And
that's been a big one.
Yeah, that's been a big one. But, you know, bless her heart, I've woke her up early for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And hopefully she's getting a little more sleep in nowadays. And but some mornings, you know, like today, I just kind of woke up. I couldn't sleep. So it's going to take a while to get over that. But she's doing great. And we're enjoying spending a little more time together. And we're here living at Lake Martin now. And, you know, I call it semi-retired and mostly washed up.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Good way to put it. Hey, Bubba, we got some other another question we want to ask you. And these are some guys. We're getting texts, man. People are responding and it's saying how cool it is to hear you.
Tell them thank you and I'm sorry. No.
A couple of questions. The first one is if they wanted to start down to local coffee shop, if they wanted to start a Clay County chapter of the Bill Bubba Bussey Fan Club, is there any particular thing they need to do, or just kind of jump in there and do it on their own?
You know, I haven't given that a lot of thought, Coach. Okay. Maybe we need to think more about that. If they've got donuts, I think they're off to a good start.
Okay, donuts and there's some coffee, and I think biscuits. Some milk. Yeah.
Biscuits
yeah.
around there.
Yeah, biscuits, all that stuff. Syrup, you know, like we're talking about. Yeah. Gotta have that.
Oh, yeah, the different syrup.
Thick and thin, we take them both.
That's right. Hey, we don't discriminate, Rusty.
Absolutely not.
And then another question, and just as they something else that they're wanting to learn, Bubba, do you, when you get ready in the morning, and this is big around here, it seems to be, because it's something that gets talked about kind of fairly regular, when you start getting ready for the day and you got your socks and shoes laid out, do you put on one sock and then another sock and then shoe, or do you go sock, shoe, and sock, shoe?
No, I go socks and then shoes. I have to get, you know, I have to get everything on the same level. I can't go sock, shoe. Yeah. That would be a little weird. Then if I had to get up and get something, I'd be all crooked. You know what I mean? I couldn't walk right.
I do know what you mean.
I can walk in my sock feet or I can walk in my shoe feet, but I can't walk in sock, shoe, and barefoot.
I agree.
That makes a lot of sense.
I agree. There's a few people that disagree with that.
Yeah, we've got a few.
I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you had a fire, it'd be better to hop out on one foot than to get both of them burned. But, you know, given day in, day out, I like sock.
Yeah.
Here's one coming in for you, Bubba. On the syrup thing, what about with your biscuit, taking like butter and syrup, mixing up together and eating that on your biscuit?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if there's butter, it's going in that biscuit now. There ain't no doubt about that.
Yes.
I mean, that's my little pet name for Betty. You were talking about her. She's my little buttered biscuit. So, you know, I when I say I love biscuits, I mean it.
What's the best biscuit you think that you've ever had? Was it grandmother's biscuit?
Oh, boy.
Mama's biscuit. What do you think?
Biscuits, to me, are a lot like ice cream. That's just not a lot of bad ones. You know, I mean, right. Every now and then you run into one that's been stepped on or sit on or something, but, you know, I don't want them too crumbly, but I don't want them too doughy either. There's a happy medium there.
Right.
You know, if you put bologna in it now, you ain't going to offend me, you know, any of that stuff. So biscuits are just, I think they're just a gift from God, really. I don't know how else to put it.
I even like the canned biscuits. A lot of people don't. I'm not so sure. Like the flaky layer.
I'm a Whopping biscuit. Yeah.
I mean, I like a canned biscuit. And I don't know.
Hey,
go ahead.
No problem here on my end with a canned biscuit. As a matter of fact, I'll eat one raw if you're not careful.
I don't know if you've ever had them, but use is almost donuts. Take them and deep fry them and use them. You know, take a canned biscuit, break them apart, and stick them in there, and then you come out and you got the syrup, and then shoot your syrup inside.
Oh yes, absolutely.
A deep fried.
Now, Rusty, you're getting crazy now, Rusty. Come on now, you're getting crazy.
Well, I thought you might have had that in the woods over here in Clay County when you come to one of those parties. That's one of the things. You know, that's kind of where I learned it, but you know.
Well, there was a lot of things at those parties, but, you know, it's, Rusty, you're just getting crazy. I just like biscuits. I don't get too fancy, you know, and I've never liked people and food that, you know, they try to, you know, they're like, well, this is so-and-so food, but it's ketchup flavored. Well, if I want ketchup, I'll just get ketchup. I don't want chewing gum that's flavored like ketchup or something. You know, sometimes we get a little crazy with all that. But, yeah, I'm like you. I like grandmother's biscuits. I like, you know, a lot of the drive-thrus have good biscuits now. No problem there. Canned biscuits. Just, hey, if I can get to a biscuit, I'm happy. No problem.
Bill Bubba Bussey with us this morning in all your years in radio and broadcasting. Bubba, tell us maybe two or three unusual places that you found yourself doing remotes and working remotely from a on-site location. Because we've learned in just the short time we've been involved in this that at times you can wind up in some odd places working remotely from somewhere.
Well, I think we have to start with DJing parties in Lineville. Yeah. I think that's, you know, where we start.
Right.
Now, we, you know, the show allowed us to do a lot of cool things, and we met a lot of cool people, and we got to go to the White House and interview Trump and, you know, go to see launches down at Kennedy Space Center, which, by the way, SpaceX is supposed to launch again this afternoon. They're a big starship. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, old Elon, he'll set one off on it.
Hey, he'll light that thing up in a heartbeat, man. Yes, he will.
Yeah, he don't like simulations. He'd rather go out there and play with one, man. Yes, I love it.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, we've got to drive race cars, and we've got to go, you know, on cruises and do remotes from the beach. And, you know, those were always tough. I know y'all would appreciate that. So, you know, we just got to do a lot of fun things over the years.
Let's go back to Elon a minute, Bubba. You mentioned him. What about when that thing redocks itself onto its own, where it launched from?
I've got to tell you, Chris, I've been a space fan since I can remember, I was a little kid.
Yes.
And that had to be one of when they caught that booster with those chopsticks, that had to be an engineering marvel. Now, you know, the size of that thing, I mean, that's like catching a 12-story building.
Right.
I mean, that is just so bizarre. And that thing comes in faster than the speed of sound. It breaks the sound barrier. Comes down, the chopsticks catch it. I mean, I've got to put it right up there with Neil Armstrong stepping on the moon. As far as an engineering feat, it is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we talked about this the other day, Bubba. It came up somewhere in some of the stuff we were looking at. If you looked at from the time the Wright brothers took their first flight at Kitty Hawk until that first landing on the moon, that was only a span of 66 years. We developed that technology over 66 years. That's amazing.
Coach, that is super amazing because, I mean, man has looked up at the moon and wondered what it was and how they could get there since Adam and Eve. And to do that in that short amount of time, like you said, and, you know, Kitty Hawk, they flew, what, 100,
150
foot? Right. And to go from that to landing on the moon and coming back in 60 years is just, I mean, it's mind-boggling. It really is.
It is. And the moon, and we had a big moon discussion a few weeks ago, and maybe you can help us with this. when we look at the moon, we're always seeing the same side of the moon. We never see the backside. That's correct. Isn't that right?
That is correct. Yes, that is correct.
So when we go to the moon and we've been able to land there, there's a side of the moon that we've never been on or seen. Is that right? Or how have we ever seen at all the backside of the moon?
Yeah, we've had probes orbit the moon. We have a lunar reconnaissance spacecraft up there now. But remember, the two astronauts that went down to the moon, one stayed in the command module, and he orbited the moon. So he had some firsthand observations on the backside. But, you know, the main reason they do that is just communication, because you can't talk back to Earth through the moon.
Right.
You got to be on the side that looks at the Earth.
Right.
And it's just a much easier thing to do. But yeah, the moon rotates in a way that it never changes the way it's looking at the Earth. So it's kind of an oddity of that. And of course, the dark side of the moon gives all these people these conspiracy people, just have a field day with that. But all of our astronauts that went to the moon and have orbited the moon have seen the backside of it. There's no big mystery there, other than the fact you can't talk to Earth directly.
And that's always when they made those missions, that was always a challenging moments in time when they would go behind the moon and that communication was cut off for a period of time.
Yeah, you talking about being cut off from the world?
Right.
You literally are cut off. What they call LOS, loss of signal.
Right.
And you know they knew exactly when it was supposed to come around the other side, or the AOS, acquisition of signal. And you know they were, and it's funny how the math on all that worked. They would always come out at the exact second they thought they would. So that was always cool. I know a lot of them on their radios, they heard strange noises on the backside of the moon, but it was just because there was no signal back there. They were totally cut off from Earth and anything that those receivers would recognize. So it was kind of cool, but that's impressive.
Bill Bubba Bussey with us this morning on Coaching Friends here on Classic Country 90.9. Bubba, this past Friday morning, we woke up here in Clay County, and we got a pretty good little dose in the snow and ice around here. Kind of had a shutdown for most of the day on Friday. What was it like where you were?
Well, we just had a wet driveway here at Lake Martin. We had just a little bit of snow on the roof, nothing accumulated on the ground to speak of. Till you got north, you got up above Alexander City towards Sylacauga. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, it's funny, I drove over in your guys' area just looking at snow. I kind of got going up the highway. I've got several ways I go to Jacksonville. One mm-hmm. of them is over through Lineville. So
right.
I went up through there and I saw that. Man, I was impressed how much snow you guys got. There was still a lot on the ground even a day or two after.
Yep. And Taylor was out there. Taylor's part-time job, he's the city maintenance director, city supervisor for the city of Lineville, and he was out in that stuff having to deal with that Friday morning. That always he always brings a few interesting stories in from that perspective.
Yeah.
How was that, Rusty?
It was pretty interesting. People were not too bad about getting out, and a lot of things were closed, so we didn't have a lot of people on the road, not a lot of issues. You know, our people are not accustomed to driving in that type of weather, and things went pretty well. We had a few accidents, but it was kind of surprising. They'd kind of backed off on what they had projected us to get, and then wake up that morning to 2 to 3 inches is what it seemed like most people got right here in Clay County. So it was good to see, but I know they're mentioning it next week, and we're just trying to shy away from that. We've got our dose of it for this year, and we'll skip it if that's okay. But it was fun while it lasted, and now let's let that be in the past and worry about future years. We don't have to have it again.
Well, it's always fun if the power doesn't go out, because you can go outside and play in it and come in. And I live further south now than I've ever lived. So, I remember back during the ice storm we had a few years ago, and then the blizzard of 93. Good gracious. I mean, we'd never seen snow like that. So Rusty, what is the forecast next week? I've heard two or three versions of it. What's the latest?
Well, it's looking very questionable for about next Tuesday and Wednesday, that we could have a very similar thing and actually could go farther south. So you down there on Lake Martin, y'all could be looking like us next week right now. And that's, it's hard to, you know, as you know, to forecast that far out, but it's looking very questionable for next Tuesday, next Wednesday time frame. It's going to be really cold, and there's going to be another one of those low pressure deals out in the Gulf there. The Gulf of America, we call it now, you know.
Yeah, I heard it's getting renamed. Yeah.
Out
the Gulf of America. The 51st state.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we want to make sure we speak about it correctly. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to watch next week, to say the least. And the early projections, there's some possibility for some very similar weather to what we had this past week.
Bubba, we've wondered if the renaming of the Gulf would increase tourism along the Gulf Coast.
You know, I think Trump being in will help a lot of things. I really do. I think you just feel a lot of energy that was pinned up that people are excited about, businesses are excited about, and hopefully he can get in there and make some changes. You know, it's hard to turn a lot of things in our country in just 4 years. I mean, it's like paddling an aircraft carrier sometimes, but we're excited about it, and that and the Panama Canal, Canada, Greenland, you know, we got several projects out there.
Well, Bill, we talked about there, we got Bill Bubba Bussey here. We wanted to talk about, we've hit around it, but your new job that you've taken there at Jacksonville State, exactly what all that entails. It's a long title, so it's got to entail a whole lot of work for you.
Well, I told Coach earlier, I said, if you got paid by the letters in the title, I'd be doing pretty good. But we're an assistant athletic director up there, and also the director of broadcasting. And I think, don't you guys have Mike Parrish on quite a bit?
We do. Parrish is with us every Tuesday morning, a little later in the morning. But, yeah, Parrish shares with us every Tuesday everything happening around JSU athletics each and every week.
Well, you got a good one. I tell you, Mike has been there, it seems like 100 years. I know it's just 44, right. But he does, you know, we're very fortunate to have Mike. I mean, he could have gone to a lot of places, bigger schools over the years, and we're just really glad to have him. We got Eli Gold working with us now. We got several other guys up there that have been there for many, many years. And, you know, we broadcast live probably 250 events a year on ESPN Plus and the radio network. And we're also starting a streaming service now, too, where we're doing even more sports when we can't get a spot on ESPN or the radio network. So we got a lot going on at Jack State, you know, moving to Division One. It's mm-hmm. It's bigger, it's better. We've had a high profile coach and Coach Rich Rod there, and of course he's going back to West Virginia now, where he got his start or made it big to begin with. And we're very excited about Charles Kelly, our new coach. Met Coach. I knew him when he coached there before with Coach Burgess, and I've had a chance to sit down with him a couple of times, and he's a very personable guy, and he is a heck of a recruiter. And think about this, guys. We got a head coach that has two national championship rings, one at Alabama and one at Florida State. That's a pretty, pretty good pedigree.
It absolutely is. It is. And let's ask this. You mentioned Mike Parrish, and he is so gracious and good to us and has been for the last few years here in Clay County and speaking with us every week. But I know at times, toward the end of football season, basketball season begins, there's some overlap there. Later on, there'll be some overlap between basketball and baseball. And Parrish is only one guy. So what kind of arrangements, how do you guys work that when those things begin to overlap? And Parrish can't be but one place at one time, but you've got multiple events going on.
I need to talk to Rusty about that. And, you know, we have a pretty good, we have a good group of people who can do that. Mm-hmm. Patrick Williams has been there for a long time. He does PA, but he also is a great play-by-play man. He does ESPN Plus for the softball broadcast. Donnie Smith, who is our sports information director, has broadcast experience, and he's been doing some radio and streaming for us. And we've got some students coming up that are, I think, have a lot of potential, and we're going to get them involved too. But, you know, we always need plenty of people on the depth chart, because I tell you, we have, and you're right on it, those crossover times when we have baseball and basketball going on. And, you know, I was looking, we got one weekend in March, we got like six events, and we got three broadcasters to cover it, you know, so we'll have to figure out how to get it all done.
Well, Taylor'd be a good one if you need a pinch hitter somewhere. I guarantee you.
I always need something else.
Yeah, he always needs something else to do. He's not busy enough.
But I do love broadcasting. So hey, we owe you one for coming back in the woods back here back in the day, back in the '90s or whenever it was. So I can never repay you for Clay County to the way things kind of went down when y'all were here, and we'll just leave it at that. Then I'll do that.
Coach, I've noticed Rusty keeps bringing that up. Is it me or what? He just keeps bringing that up.
Well, it's just, you know, I mean, I'm telling you now, Bubba, it's legendary around here, and we kind of kept this under wraps, you know, that we had the possibility to talk with you. We didn't share it with many folks, and our phones have been sitting here. We're getting all kind of people listening all over the place, and for people of a certain age, I mean, there's some legendary stories of you being in Clay County in the years past.
Well, you know, and those probably need to stay in the past.
Right. So.
Well, we go back 30 years, we've got to. You've got to. When you go back 30 years.
Coach, it's kind of like in football. Let's move the chains forward, right?
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
We can't do anything about the play just ran. Let's just move forward.
Yeah, forget that. And move. I mean, it doesn't do you any good. You don't want to. You don't want a loss to hurt you twice. Well, don't let one loss cause another loss. Don't get beat twice.
That's right. And if you're a quarterback, you have to have a short memory because you don't want to remember that interception.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bubba, we need to take one final break. And if it, can you stay with us and just go all the way to 8 o'clock if your battery holds out on your phone?
Yes, sir. Listen, I love this. I appreciate the invitation. I'm with you as long as you need.
We're going to step away, take our final break of this morning as we head toward 8 o'clock. Coaching Friends with Bill Bubba Bussey this morning right here on Classic Country 90.9. 7:47 on this Wednesday morning, Coaching Friends, Coach Chris Heron, the Grinder, Voice of the Vols, Rusty Taylor, and on Heroes Hotline this morning, hot and fresh, Bill Bubba Bussey joining us this morning. Bubba, we thank you.
I love being compared to a donut. That's great.
It. Hot and fresh. The light is on.
Yep.
The light
come and get it.
Is on. Come and get it. Come and get it. Bubba, let's go back to talking about your position there now at JSU, and that's actually your alma mater. And so you spent a lot of time over your life right there in Jacksonville and around JSU as that program and that school has grown to what it's become today.
Yeah, I grew up in Jacksonville, as we mentioned earlier, went to Jacksonville High School. Some of my earliest memories are going to Jack State games, and boy, the stadium has changed. And, you know, the idea that we would be going to bowl games, that was just unthinkable back then. So, yeah, it has grown a lot. It's a great city, great area. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people from Clay County that go to school there. And I think we're just very fortunate to have it.
We are. That's what I was sitting here thinking. That's been so important for the education of many people here locally, and a lot of our teachers. Of course, they have a great teachers program there, and a lot of our teachers, you know, got their degrees there. I know my wife did. She got her master's and bachelor's there at Jacksonville State. And a lot of people can say that. My son got his. He's a teacher also. He got his degree there, and just so many people can say that, and to see how that campus has developed and grown. And of course, we were talking about you know, the tornado damage a little bit ago off the air, but the tornado damage up there, so there was some down on Lake Martin we were talking about off the air, but the damage they had and recovered from that, and all the things that they've done with the baseball, that baseball complex is so nice, the football complex, just an awesome a place and a great place, and people really wanting to come there from all over, and it's really neat to see how that place has developed and grown over the years.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we've got world-class athletics now, and, you know, people need to get out and see those. I know a lot of times there's a lot of things going on, but I mean, it's worth the ride up to Jacksonville to watch a basketball game, baseball, football, of course. We have the national champion bowling team. National champion. I mean, everybody can just eat our dust on the bowling alley, yes. You know? So that's incredible. The rifle team, you know, I've learned a lot about these other sports since I've been up there. It's a lot of fun. And as you said, it's a great world-class educational setup. I mean, every school that I know of has teachers who are from Jack State. Mm-hmm. The forensic program up there is world-class. I was in the technology department, which is now called Applied Engineering, and they have a great program, the business school. You know, one of the things, guys, they're and I don't think I'm speaking out of school here, they had a major in sports management, and not even Auburn and Alabama had those. So they may have moved those up now, but that's a great thing to be in now, especially with athletics and NIL and the way college football is changing, you know, to be in the management of that and, you know, or be an athletic director and assistant athletic director and all that. It is a wide open field and it is growing every day.
The nursing program, really big nursing program, yeah. Too. So just so much going on up there at Jackson
State. Rusty, my wife is a nurse from that nursing program. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Okay. Well, you know, we all have to work together. That's the way it works around here.
It's a lot to remember. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot going on. The enrollment is right at 10,000 now. I mean, it is a really growing place and a lot of good things going on. And I would encourage kids and parents alike to check it out or come up and watch a ball game or check out. If you can't be there, check out the broadcasting we're doing. Man, we got, you know, Mike Paris, Eli Gold. I mean, you cannot go anywhere and have better people working broadcasting your sports than that.
One thing that I miss from Jacksonville, and I did not go to school there. My wife did, attained a master's degree there, but there over the years many times. But the old hamburger place, was it Cecil's? That used there to be there, yes. In Jacksonville. Oh, that was
Cecil's and the Rocket.
Both. Yes, yes, right. Both those places.
And Cooter Brown's now, is still there.
The Rocket is still there. Yeah. There's a lot of good hole in the wall, I call them eating places. And, you know, when you get a hamburger there, you're full. You don't have to have a lot of extra.
Bubba, we got at 8:00, we'll kind of make a shift and we'll move into what we call the 3-point stance. And we'll do a little sports talk for a couple hours. And one guy that comes in for that portion of our morning is Coach Jerry Weems. He's a Jacksonville State alumni, an old Welborn guy. And he's in here with us, made his way in, listened a little bit. He wants to say hello, Coach Weems.
Bubba, how you doing this morning?
Now, Coach, you're not my Coach Weems, are you?
Well, now, which one is your coach?
Now, did you teach me driver's ed?
Well, I taught driver's ed one year at Cleburne County.
Okay, well, it wasn't you. I had a Coach Weems, and I thought he was from your area down there. So there's another one, I guess. Where, Ricky Weems, I guess.
Ricky? He's my brother, yeah.
Is he really?
He really is. Ricky is my brother. Still are you kidding? Where did you have driver's ed with him?
At Jacksonville High School? Did he teach there?
He was there at one time. I was there one year in 1970, and I think he came along later on.
Yeah, he coached football and a lot of things up there. And yeah, like I say, most important was my driver's ed teacher.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you had to have driver's ed or you wouldn't be – you couldn't get from where you are every day up to Jacksonville.
Well, look, it's a pretty good hike from Lake Martin. I get a lot of scenic views, you know.
Well, you know, Ricky was he coached at Jacksonville. He coached at Welborn. He coached at Ohatchee. And he coached at Talladega at one time. He kind of – moved around several places, and he listens to our 3-point stance show. I don't know if he's already tuned in this morning or not, but he still lives there in Welborn. And if he's not listening, whenever I talk with him again, I'll tell him that you ask about him.
Please do. He was a great teacher and a great coach, and enjoyed our time with him. And, man, that's crazy. Small world.
Oh, yeah. So and, tell him, Ricky, hello. Ricky played football there at Jacksonville State as well.
I knew he was a great athlete.
Yeah, he played under Charlie Pell. After Charlie Pell came. And, it goes back. And I helped him and his buddies. I was in school at the same time. And they used to borrow my papers and notes, because they had trouble keeping up with that kind of thing in class. So I helped a lot of them get through school.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Yeah, him and Coach Bruce Nichols, he was all there at the same
Bruce
time.
Was a good
and
friend.
Billy Joe Davis. And I still talk to Coach Davis quite a bit. He lives over in Lincoln. And so we had some character here at Jacksonville High School in the 70s and 80s.
We did. And, Bruce, he kicked around in coaching for a pretty good while, too, when he left Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he was big enough. We had to pay attention to him.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure you remember John Niblett.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah.
John.
Yeah, I knew him at Jack State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. John was a good friend of mine as well when I was in school there at Jack State, and he played tight end in football, and then had a good coaching career of his own later on. But you're bringing back a lot of memories here this morning for me.
Well, please tell Ricky I said hello and I asked about him and asked you how his driving is.
I will, and I don't think he's had a wreck lately, so he knew what he was talking about.
But did you catch that about our coach Weems? He was only at Jacksonville High School 1 year. 1 year was all they had of him, and they got him out of there.
They got me away. Look,
can
there.
I tell you? Hey, coaching is a tough job. I mean, you have to have like a moving van on standby, don't you? I mean, that is a tough gig.
Well, it is, and I left there after 1 year, and I was a junior high coach, and. I left there and went to Cleburne County, and then I went to Dadeville, and then I landed here at Clay County, and I've been here for almost 50 years now. So,
well, how about them salaries for some of those football coaches now? That's all right, isn't it?
Oh, it's I was looking one day. I found in a drawer some old contracts that I kept from my jobs, and my first contract was like $3,000-something, and now. You've got coaches making that much for one game or more, for one game. And it's just incredible the way the coaches' salaries are. And, I think it's almost got to the point where they're not going to be able to keep paying it.
Well, that's why you got to have that sports management class, so you can figure all that stuff out. But I know back even at Jack State when Coach Burgess was there, he made like $65,000-$70,000, and Rich Rod was making over $1 million. I mean, that's a published thing. That's not anything secret. So, but that just shows you the demand and how that has gone up over the years. And, good for them. It's a lot of pressure, and you're accountable for your performance and your players, and they're going to the bank on it now. Good for them.
Bill Bubba Bussey with us this morning on Coach and Friends. Bubba, we thank you so much for sharing this hour with us and your time, and we hopefully we can make this happen again. But for those that are looking forward and miss hearing you, there's going to be an opportunity maybe a couple of months away to where they can get a little bit, a little regular dose of Bubba.
Well, other than stopping by and bringing y'all donuts every now and then.
And we'll be looking for that. Yes, sir.
And we hope to have a podcast going in March. I mean, everybody else has a podcast. Why not, right?
Sure, absolutely.
It's going to be called Bubba on the Lake, and don't let the name fool you. We'll cover a lot of topics. But we're working on that, and hopefully that'll get up, and it won't crash and burn too quick.
Bill Bubba Bussey with us this morning. Bubba, we thank you so much for your time this morning, man. You've made our morning. You've made our week. And hopefully we'll be able to speak with you again before too long.
Coach, thank you. Rusty, Coach Weems there, thank all of you. I have had a ball and look forward to doing it again soon. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you, Bubba. Thank you. Have a great day, man.
Hey, you come on back. You too, we'll go back to the woods one night sometime up here in Clay County.
Boy, I tell you, Rusty just will not let that
he's
go.
He's not going to let that go. He's hanging on to that.
Rusty is not going to get a biscuit when I come.
Thank you, Bubba.
Thank y'all.
Yes, sir.